Well, it's good to see you all here. Let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. And I just want to use this tonight as a launching pad. Maybe that's not a very good analogy tonight, seeing we've got all this trouble in the world. Amen. But folks, I'm telling you, we are coming to calamity in our world. It is very, very possible that this year millions of people will die by war in our world. Very possible. Very possible. Just yesterday, I believe it was, North Korea launched an intercontinental ballistic missile that's able to hit the mainland of America. Millions of people could perish in a matter of 40 minutes time. And we don't have the luxury to play games with living for God. We've got to get serious about serving God and doing the will of God. Amen. It's all about Him. It's all about doing His will. And so tonight, I want to talk to us for a little bit. Proverbs 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider," everybody said consider, "consider her ways and be wise." Amen. Consider her ways. And that word consider there in the original means to see, and it means, and this is my addition of the definition tonight, to see through meditation, praise the Lord. When we consider things, amen, we sit down and we think about it, we consider it, as one writer wrote, like a dog worrying over a bone, amen. Just keep mulling it over and thinking about it and chewing on it and just trying to get the understanding of what it's all about. Amen. There's some things that we need to consider. And I want to just title it tonight, if I can, Things to Consider. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Can we do that? Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It is life. It is the sword of the Word of God. It is exactly what we need in our lives is your Word. I thank you for your Word. Thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And let's look at the word of the Lord for just a little bit here. Because every now and then, and I would have to say more than not, we need to stop and to consider things that are going on around us. I believe that meditation on important issues is a must. The reason is that we have a way of becoming sidetracked in our minds to the very real important things in life. We can become weary and faint if we're not careful. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. And if you'd like to turn there with me tonight, let's look at the Word of God. Let's consider the Word of God together tonight. Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Amen. And so it is very possible, and in fact it is a very real thing, that if we are not careful, we will be weary and faint in our minds. And we will begin to think that things are, well, just like the song was sung tonight, I see broken and you see healed. Amen. I don't want to see what I see. I want to see what God sees. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to see things my way, but I want to see things His way, because many times in my mind I can become weary because of the contradiction of people. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus was a man that was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with sorrow. And the Apostle Peter wrote and said that He is our great example, that we should follow in His footsteps. Amen. That who did no wrong suffered wrongfully. Amen. And did it patiently. Praise God. And the only way that we're able to do that is to to consider things. Amen. Consider them from the prism of the Word of God. The word weary here, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, that means to toil or to tire or to become faint or to become sick or wearied. Amen. And when we toil, weary and faint in your minds. That word faint there means to relax. And so in the context of this scripture, we've got to understand that we have the capacity here to become weary and to faint in our minds, to relax. Amen. Because the mind is the part of us that makes decisions. The mind is the supercomputer that God has given to us that takes in information and it processes that information very much like a computer does. And some people, we were talking about that the other day, that Brother Charlie works with folks that are handicapped. And they just have to come to the realization that their mind is wired a certain way. That it, when it was developed a certain way, and that's the way that they are wired. And so you must understand tonight that our mind was given to us by God. Does anybody have a mind here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Some of us didn't lift our hands. We're not sure at some points whether or not we do. Amen. And yet, in order to be strong and to serve the Lord, amen, we've got to have a ready mind. We've got to have a mind that has the right information in it, so that in the time of weariness and the time of toil and all of that, that we're not going to become weary and faint in our mind. Amen. The mind works off of information, as I've already said, but what goes in is what comes out. That's why it's so very important, and that's why we preach about the media that we allow into our eyes on a regular basis. Amen. Because what goes in is what is going to come out, and there's really no deviation from this. Whenever there is someone who wants to preach or to minister, my very first recommendation to them is start reading. Amen. Get books and read books and begin to get information into your mind. Read the Word of God, amen, more than other things, and feed the mind. Because if you've only got one message in your mind, if that's all God gave you, well, praise the Lord, just preach that one message and we'll see how it all works out. But there's an awful lot of things in the Word of God, and it's more than just reading chapter and verse and then letting everybody go home. Amen. There needs to be food for the mind, for the spiritual mind, for the mind of Christ, amen, so that we can look at things and see the breadth and the height and the depth and to know the love of God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we can look at this here in this particular context. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 or verse 16. You can find it as I'm reading. It says here, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. And it says here, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And so, in reality, ignorance, and that's not... I don't really want to use that word in a put down sort of a way, but in reality, ignorance is the enemy of all people. Well, praise the Lord. Why do you think the enemy is focusing on the schools? Why do you think that it is okay for our high school students to graduate and not know how to read or write? Why do you think that's okay with the government in our society today? Well, it's very simple. People that are not educated on basic things can be easily manipulated. Praise God. Can be easily swayed one way or another. What we need is to be wise in the things of God. Someone help me here tonight. We need to be wise in the things of the Lord. We don't need to be ignorant about things and just following the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. But something can rule over that. Of course, we know it is the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. But it is more than that. There's an addition to that, and that is the wisdom of God and the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and it is powerful. Amen. It is a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Amen. It is something that gives us the direction that we need in our lives. I need direction from God. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I need direction from God. I need the will of God in my life. And so the will of God comes from the Word of God. And so there are some things that we must consider. There are some things that we must meditate on, to study or to meditate on truth and preaching. Amen. That comes in the ministry that comes from the fivefold ministry. Amen. And I know these are a few scriptures here, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and let's look at it for just a very quick moment here before we move on. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect," that word means mature, "a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Amen. That's what happens when you don't know what you believe. That's what happens when you don't have wisdom. That's what happens when you don't have knowledge. You're easily manipulated like the wind that blows against a ship that has no rudder. It just goes wherever the wind blows. Hey, folks, it's not the will of God that we just go whichever direction that we feel. Well, praise God. That's the winds that are blowing in our world. It's not the will of God that we be manipulated by other people. I'm telling you here tonight, I'm not going to be manipulated by other people. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do the will of God. And if somebody comes along and says, I had somebody come along recently and kind of put me down for teaching Bible studies. And you know what? I'm not disturbed at all by that. I'm not upset. I'm not going to get into an argument with him about it. Amen. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go to my next Bible study and teach it. Praise God. You know why? Because I've got some knowledge that overrides my feelings and what anybody else or what any other spirit or my flesh or my mind is trying to tell me. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I have conditioned my mind by the Word of God. Amen. I have allowed the Word of God to get in, and I have considered some things. I've looked at some things and said, this is the way it is. Praise God. And unless God changes that direction, this is what I'm going to do. Praise God. We've got to have a backbone like a saw log. But more than that, I'll tell you what we've got to have. We've got to have a made-up mind, and that made-up mind needs to know what it believes. Well, praise God. If everybody's doing it, it doesn't matter if everybody's doing it. They were doing it in Noah's day. They were doing it in Moses' day. They were doing it in Jesus' day. Amen. A committee and a group of people never have affected the world. It's always been one person that heard from God and was convinced and had a conviction in their heart. I know what I'm standing for. Amen. I feel comfortable in what I'm doing. Praise God. And I'm going to do something for God. There's enough folks here right now to have a personal revival in your life and collectively have a revival in the church. Amen. Praise God. And so we got to consider some things. And what do we consider? We consider the Word of God that comes from the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Amen. So that we can look at things in the right way. And it says, not carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Lots of places there where it talks about love. Amen. And so so we see here tonight that the considering, the things that we need to consider are the words of God that comes through the ministry. Not trying to elevate myself here tonight. I think you know that already. Amen. But there is a work of God. God has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's not my plan. That's God's plan. I'll tell you, there's a lot of other folks I'd rather listen to than myself. Amen. I don't put tapes in and listen to myself preach. I don't like to hear myself preach. Amen. There's something about it. I'm thinking, I sound like that. Oh God, those poor folks. And I go to my knees and begin to pray for you. Praise God. Because you've got to endure all of that stuff. Well, praise God. But it's God's way. Amen. Amen. It's God's way. And it always works. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. Study. Everybody said study. Study. Hey, that was pretty good on the front row. Well, it's not school time yet. Amen. But Nathan, are you excited about studying? Kind of, sort of. He's going through school all summer. Hey, let's give Nathan a hand. He's doing a good job. You still in school? All right. Sticking with it. And he's listening to the pastor and listening to his dad and going through that. And you watch, this young man's going to get blessed. Well, praise the Lord. And the rest of you playing basketball, he's going to school. And he's going to be blessed. I'm telling you tonight. I'm not putting down basketball. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But I'm telling you that there is something about study. Amen. God did not give us a mind just because he needed something to fill that spot between our ears. Praise God. He did not give us our mind, amen, to trash out with the things of the world. He did not give us our mind to use it as a tool to destroy ourselves. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can destroy yourself by your mind, amen, by allowing things into your mind, and then, of course, into your spirit, and eventually it'll get into your soul, and it will become who you are. Well, praise the Lord. It will become who you are. And here it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. I don't want to hear anybody preach that hasn't put some time in on the message. I really don't. And you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. Years and years ago, they used to say, you don't need to put any notes down. And you folks know I use notes, and I think you should use notes. And they say, well, just get up there and open your mouth, and God will fill your mouth. Well, if that's the way it works with you, then praise God. But I have yet to find anybody that it works that way. There have been a few probably fitting into the category of prophet. Amen. And I have seen a few. There's been a few that I question. And I went to Bishop Johnson, and he said, I've never seen him make a mistake one time. He's passed on and gone to the Lord. This minister up in Ohio, in fact, Brother Smith's son pastors the church there where he was, and mightily used in healing and prophecy and different things of that nature. But most of us don't come up that high, praise God. And we need some guidance, and we need some notes, and we need to study, amen. I remember when I first got in the church, there was a couple of preachers, the Bayer brothers, and they were considered to be the walking Bible. They had memorized the entire Bible. And not only that, they found 1,000 titles of Christ, and they could give you the 1,000 titles of Christ in alphabetical order. Amen. And somebody said, well, is it a natural talent? They said, it's not a natural talent. You just have to start in on it, and you have to work at it. And after a while, it kind of clicks, and it goes in. Amen. But what do we want to do? We want to relax. He said, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. We would rather relax. Amen. We'd rather just kind of, veg out, as they say. And not worry. Well, there's a time for that. I think that that's why the Lord left for 40 days and 40 nights and went up into the mountain, because he was weary. He was becoming weary in his mind. He was a man just like you and I, and he became weary, and he had to refresh himself and get away. Amen. And I believe in getting away. I believe in doing some other things, because you can get tunnel vision in your life. You can begin to think that that's all this is and that's all it'll ever be, but that's not really the truth. Amen. We need a vacation every now and then. Amen. But we don't need to live in a vacation. Praise God. And maybe that'll kind of help us to get back into track here in a few weeks. But summertime is that vacation spirit gets on everybody. Amen. We want to get up and go. We want to do some things. And I say, praise the Lord, I'm going to be right there with you. Amen. I want to go do things and see new places and just kind of get away and forget everything and just go on and have a good time. But then there comes a time when you get back home and you got to study again. Amen. There comes a time when you've got to come back to reality and go to work again, because if you're gone too long, when you come back, your mailbox will be full of bills. Praise the Lord. And hopefully you've saved up your money to pay for those. But if you're on a constant vacation, Mr. Lawler used to live across the street from the church, and he told me he's a teacher, or was a teacher, and had the summer off, and they took a 45-day vacation, traveled up the East Coast and had a tent that they slept in, and 45 days, and I thought, oh my, I'll bet you were glad to get home. I know I would be glad to get home after 45 days of vacation. I've never done a 40-day and 40-night vacation. Amen. 2 weeks is about the most that I've ever done. And I'm always ready to get back home and get some things going. Amen. Because it is important that my mind be fed with solid things. Solid things. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Amen. Your mind has to have food. Amen. And it uses probably more energy than any other part of your body. Well, it really does. Just to keep you functioning every day, it uses massive amounts of energy. Amen. It must be fed, and that's not just with natural food, but the mind must be fed regularly on the truth of the Word of God. We must take the time to stop and consider some things. We must take the time to stop, amen, and meditate on the Word of God and meditate on His Word. Amen. It's amazing what you can get out of one scripture if you just stop long enough and think about it and pray about it and say, God, show me some things here in the Word of God. The thing that's really exciting is after you've lived for the Lord for a while, all of a sudden all these scriptures start coming to you. When you get on a theme or you get on a word, amen, all of a sudden here's a scripture that pops up. Here's another one that pops up. And before you know it, you've got a revelation you never had before. Or maybe it's a revelation that you forgot and God's trying to remind you of that again. Praise God. It's the will of God that we stop and consider some things. Amen. And we need to consider that Jesus was a man. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And so the Bible says we need to consider Jesus Christ. Amen. He was a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Amen. Yet without sin. He's my hero today. Praise God. Brother McMullen made the comment. He said, I don't have very many heroes anymore. Amen. There's a lot of folks you put a lot of stock into, and then they let you down. He said, you know what? I'm coming to the place where I've just got one hero, and that's Jesus. He's the only one that I can look to as my example. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that tonight, and so we need to consider him. Amen. We need to look at the temptation that he went through and the constant barrage of criticism. Amen. The constant barrage of criticism. Not only, and none of the criticism was good. Or in other words, none of the criticism was right. It was all false. It was made up, and then they sent people to try to get him twisted up in his words so they could discredit him. They conspired behind his back to kill him. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Have you ever had someone talk about you behind your back? Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? Well, it happened all the time with the Lord. And I'm thankful that we can stop and consider him. Amen. Lest we become weary and faint in our minds. Praise God. And it's a wonder, or no wonder rather, that he took off the 40 days to get away from people. Amen. It's no wonder that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Amen. We can see, amen, through his times of stopping to consider things, to refresh. I was thinking about it the other day. I guess I was considering some things the other day. And I was thinking about the Lord. And I thought, Lord, you had the greatest father that anybody could ever have in this life. You had God Almighty as your father. And I began to think about that. And I thought, I wished I could slip up beside them without them knowing it, which it would be impossible to do, but slip up beside them and listen to their conversation when he was up in the mountains for 40 days and 40 nights. Or when he was a child and his father spoke to him and a relationship was built between him and his father. He was born as a baby. He didn't know how to talk. He didn't know any of that. But as he grew in grace and in knowledge, and he learned how to talk and he learned how to walk and he learned all the things that humans learn, there was a time and a day when his heavenly father made himself known to him. And he began to grow in that relationship with his father. I thought, dear Lord, I've fallen by the wayside so many times. As a father, I've failed so many times. And if you're a father here tonight, you probably feel the same way. And I hope you don't. I hope you've been a perfect dad. And if you have, I'm going to come and get some counseling from you when I need it. Amen. But all of us feel like we've fallen short. Well, praise God. You don't have to say anything. It's all right. We feel like we've fallen short and could have done better and all of that. But Jesus didn't have that situation. He had a father that when he went to him, his father said the exact thing that he needed to hear. Now that's really awesome. That's really awesome. He said the exact thing that he needed to hear. The right word of encouragement at the right time. Oh, Lord, he had it. I'm telling you, he had a father. But you know what? We have a heavenly father today. Well, praise God. The same father of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. He will give you a fresh new outlook on life. He will just pop a word out of the Word of God. Amen. If you'll take the time to consider, amen, take the time to stop and consider, not from the logic of your mind, not by the reasoning of your flesh, not by the headlines of the day, amen, but by the Word of God and by the voice of the Lord in your life. And I believe God can speak to us. Amen. And I've used this a number of times already, but there was a day I was very discouraged and opened up my Bible and there it was. It just popped off the pages and the Lord said, "Why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart?" That's the only word that popped off of that page right then and there, right when I needed it. Amen. And I began to ask God for forgiveness. For having that attitude that I had, I asked the Lord to have mercy on me and to forgive me. And I got up out of that prayer meeting or that time with the Lord, whatever you want to call it, and I had a completely different outlook. My mind had been renewed at that point in time. Well, praise the Lord. If you stay in the same mode of thinking, you're going to get exactly the same results. What we got to have is a renewed mind. What we've got to have is food for the mind to operate the way God wanted it to operate. Well, praise the Lord. I'm preaching to us or teaching us here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7. Few things that I wanted to just bring out here tonight, and I'm going to hurry here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We have been called to be a soldier. Y'all don't look like soldiers. We've been called to be a soldier. Soldiers don't march in parades. They do once in a while. But soldiers have it hard. Some of you remember Joe that came to church a number of times. Big tall fellow, I forget his last name. He was in the military. I believe he was in the army. He went to Afghanistan. He said one night, the only place that he could find to sleep was an empty bathtub. And he fell asleep in the bathtub. And he said that in the middle of the night, he woke up screaming at the top of his lungs. And I said, why? Why? He said, I don't know why. It was the stress of battle. It was something that was affecting his mind. His mind was being affected by the battle, the constant barrage, the container unit, you know, like these metal China container units. That was their home. They had them stacked up there. That's where they bunked. And he said a mortar came over the green line and landed on their container, but it didn't blow up. It actually landed right there where they were, but it didn't blow up. And he made it out. He's back into the land of the free and the home of the brave. But I'm telling you, we do not understand the stress. I think what we need to do is to just consider this tonight. Amen. We need to consider grace. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul told him to be strong in this. Amen. Grace and favor is what we need for our mind. We need to understand and know that God loves us and that God cares for us, and that there is no situation too big for our God. We cannot allow situations of this life to affect our mind. Come on, somebody. You cannot afford that. It is not wise. It is not good. It's not what your mind was made for. Praise God. But it was made, amen, to be massaged or to be fed by the understanding and the knowledge of the grace of God. There have been many times in living for God that I felt like it's over. It's not going to work for me. It's not happening. And then all of a sudden, that week, everything turned around. Has anybody ever been there? Well, praise the Lord. You know what? That's a renewing of the mind. And after a while, you learn, I'm not going under. Praise God. I'm not going under. I serve a God who has grace. I serve a God who has mercy. Amen. I serve a God today that when He smiles upon my life, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Because grace is not a sense of, or a false sense of hope, but grace is based upon truth. Amen. Then he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Let me go ahead and read the rest of that. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for masteries, or to be the best that you can be, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be partakers of the fruits first. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And so he said, now you've got to consider grace, the grace of God. Amen. Folks, the grace of God's going to take us through. My grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough. Amen. I said it is enough. The grace of God is enough. You can make it by the grace of God. And then you can endure hardship as a good soldier. We need to consider these things. It is not weird that you're going through a hardship. it is not strange that there is a trial or a tribulation that has come to you. It is not strange. It is not something that no one has ever come up against. But what we must recognize and realize, I hope you're following with me here tonight, to recognize and realize that when you're a soldier, you will face hardship. It's a part of it. Get used to it. Amen. Walk in it. Amen. And get the victory through it. It's just a part of life. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 18. Well, I wish you well. I wish you well. And if you do, you're one of a very few. But most of us have come up on the hard side of the mountain. This generation, and don't misunderstand me tonight, but this generation does not really understand hardship. Because we've come up on the hard side, and we've established some things the hard way. We know what it's like not to have any milk in the refrigerator. We know what it's like not to have any money for groceries, and it's all going to bills. We know what that's like. And in fact, we've gotten to that place where it's like, hey, all right, let's go. Amen. Don't ever get the idea, well, I'm going to get married when I've got $100,000 in the bank and we're going to live high on the hog and everything's going to be set. Oh, I wouldn't even want to go that direction. Maybe you would, and hopefully it'll work out that way for you. But you know what? Most of us have come up in the way of the soldier. Praise God. We've come the hard way. We have learned to endure. And we have to, because hardship causes weariness. Be careful that your mind not become weary and faint. Amen. And so when hardship comes, I remember my brother-in-law, Bruce, who lives in New York. He was on two different trips to Vietnam, and he was in the Seabees. And the Seabees are the guys that would go in and put in a fence. They would put in a building, a shed, whatever it is. They were the construction guys that went in. Well, they just weren't construction guys. They actually got fired upon, and they had to fire back, and they were in the battle while they were building stuff. Yeah, you just try that now. We want you to build a building while they're firing at you. And he told me of a time where he was putting up a fence in Vietnam, and he looked at his skin, and his skin was drying out in splotches because he hadn't had any water to drink. Soldier, you're a soldier. We've got to have this fence put up. Amen. Well, you just might as well forget about becoming offended if somebody talks about you. You got a job to do. There's a fence that has to be put up. Well, a lot of them suffered because they did not completely get a hold of that. Some of them came back and were in good shape. Amen. But we must learn to endure hardship. Well, praise God. You had your chance to run and shout. I'm preaching now. Amen. We've got to learn how to suffer hardship and do it with a smile. Praise God. Are you listening tonight? Got to be able to do it with a smile and be able to handle the difficulties. Amen. Paul said, talked about all of his difficulties. And when you live for God, there will be difficulties. Amen. And how do we overcome these things? We must feed our mind with the proper nourishment. Amen. We've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, amen, to prove the will of God or to see it come to fruition in our lives. And then he said, that if you're going to strive for the masteries, that means if you're going to be the best that you can be in the call of God. Now, first of all, we got to get the call of God. But some of us here tonight have been around long enough and you know the call of God in your life. You know what God's calling you to do. Amen. What we've got to do if we're going to do the will of God, I don't want to do it halfway. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to do it halfway. I'm not just going to hit and miss and on and off and so on and so forth. Amen. If we're going to strive for the mastery, amen. He is not crowned, yet he strive lawfully. Amen. And he said, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Amen. Be genuine and real. Praise God. Don't put on a fake facade and try to be a Christian at church and something else at home. Amen. If we're going to strive for the mastery, this has got to be our life. I'm living for God. I'm not just a church attender. I don't just have a title that says pastor. This is my life. Praise God. I don't know what I would do if it was not available to me. Praise God. I would be the most miserable person in the face of the earth. If I didn't have a church to go to, bless your heart, I'd start one. Well, praise God, because I've got to have a church to go to. And you know what? I love the church that I'm a part of. Well, praise God. Been thinking about preaching on that. And I'm going to finish here in a minute. I'm not rambling. I'm really right on my notes here tonight. But I'm telling you, we need to love our church. We need to love one another. Amen. I felt that when we were out there in Boston, and I want to feel that, and I do feel that. I don't want to be misunderstood tonight. But I'm telling you what, I'm so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful when it comes time to have church, that we have musicians that'll play. We have folks that'll worship. Amen. And the Holy Ghost moves. I'm thankful for our church. Well, praise God. And I'm telling you tonight, there are many preachers. They and I call them preachers, not ministers, but they are preachers, and they go from one place to another, and they try it for a while, and then they leave, and try it for a while, and they leave, and never get established in their ministry because they become weary and faint in their mind. Somebody told them, and somehow or another, the message got across that if you don't have a church running 500, you have not arrived. I refute that. I dispute that. That is not right. That is not the truth. Well, praise God. In fact, I considered these things recently. I did. And I got to thinking, you know how I am sometimes. And I got to thinking, I thought, well, if we have 10,000 people in Augusta, then I figured out the percentage of people, 1 to 1,000 that we have in our church. And for every 1,000 people, we have about 5 people in our church. Then you go to Wichita and there's 500,000 or 300,000. If they're going to have the same size of a church, 300 times 5, they're going to have at least 1,500 people. Not Sunday morning, but 1,500 people just to be as big as we are. Well, praise the Lord. That's right. Hey, I never thought about it that way. Amen. Praise God. Light bulbs are coming on. Praise God. Well, I didn't think we were doing too good. Amen. I thought, yeah, that's the problem. We're thinking along the ways of everybody else. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I love the church that I pastor. Amen. I love the call of God. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Do you feel that way tonight? Oh, well, it's just Wednesday night. Only going to be a handful there. I'm just not even going to go. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? I'm glad I'm here tonight. All right, I'm finishing. We got to strive for the mastery. And then he said, consider these things. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And so we got to stop regularly and consider all of these things. Amen. And then he said to put on the whole armor of God. I'm not going to go through that, but it is the helmet of salvation. That's the helmet that covers the mind. It's the helmet of salvation. You say, well, I'm just upset tonight about this, that, or the other. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. Put on the helmet of salvation. Praise God, because you're getting hit in the head. When you go to battle, you don't want to get hit in the head. Amen. My poor little car took a beating the other night, and it's in the shop right now, still hurting. Poor thing. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad we had that helmet around us, or we'd have taken a beating. You know what? I don't want to go to battle, you know, without a helmet on. They had, it's in the Bible, you can read it, they had habergeons. You know what a habergeon is? It's in the scriptures. It's a stick about that long, and it's got a chain on it about that long, and on the end of that chain is a round steel ball, and on that round steel ball are spikes sticking out. And this guy comes along, and he gets to going like that, and he hits you in the head. Now, that's a bad day. You're going to have a headache for a long time and probably not going to be able to fight. That's a habergeon. And then they've got a sword. I saw they found a sword in a marsh somewhere in some country over there, and it was about 4 feet long, about a 4 foot long sword. And it was in really good shape, real old sword, big handle on it. And I thought, dear Lord, that was a man that carried that sword. They got those when you go to battle. You don't want to show up with a suit and tie on and with a pillow under one arm and, you know, your pajamas on and we're going to battle. You know? We're going to get in our ship, and on the sail of our ship, we're going to have a painting of a pillow on it, and we're just going to kind of sing kumbaya. We're just going to, you know, have a good old time on the ship. I'm on the gospel ship. I'm going to heaven. Going to be sailing on the seas. Oh, it sounds so good, does so euphoric. Feels so good to think this way. And that's why some people, that's all they do is think like that, because they don't have any other information in their mind. It's wonderful. Going to tiptoe through the tulips with my little ukulele. And I'm going to sing, happy days are here again. The skies are blue. Happy days are here again. Woo. Throwing rose petals as we go through life. I don't want to be offensive, but Courtney, there's not very many hearts on the battlefield. Forgive me, I'm not trying to discourage you at all in your mind. But you just can't do that out there in the battle. They're going to say, oh, man, this is going to be fun. That's what the enemy's going to say. And he's going to attack. Oh, my goodness. Are you all with me here tonight? Yeah. Things to consider. Things to consider. And not just to consider tonight, but on a regular basis. Praise God. Because we have been called, as Scripture says, a high calling. A high calling. Let's stand together tonight. A high calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I just still feel tonight, I feel tonight that call of God. For some reason, I can't get away from that. That there is a call of God that's in this place right now. Amen. Oh, yeah, I feel called. You feel called, Fred? I feel called. I'm called. I'm going to go get me a weapon, and I'm going to go win the battle. Be careful. Because in a few days, you might be stuck in a foxhole somewhere, pinned down, outnumbered 10-1, with no support, not knowing where you're going to end up. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the reality of it right there. That's the reality of it right there. We're falling short. Now what are we going to do? We don't have the resources. Now what are we going to do? We're not sure if we're going to make it. What are we going to do now? Almost over. Brother Charlie sent me a thing after I preached that other message about the ship, about Old Ironsides, and how that Cortez went to battle and they captured the enemy, and he said, "We're going to burn our ships. We're going home in the enemy's boats." I like that kind of a spirit. It's like, we're going to make it. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to show the enemy. Amen. We're going to show them that we are a force to be reckoned with. Yeah, but the enemy will say, "Oh, you're just a ragtag outfit." The enemy will tell you all of these negative things, but I'm telling you tonight, we have been called with a high calling of God. We have a tremendous future ahead of us. There are blessings, 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 blessings ahead for the people of God. And what we must do to make it and to come across that finish line shining, amen, even though the flag is full of holes, even though our clothes are torn and our faces are covered with blood, we're going to cross that finish line and say, "We made it." Amen. We made it. Because time after time after time after time, I renewed my mind. I went back to a place of refreshing, and I took some time to consider what I'm doing with my life. Praise God. Father, we need you tonight. We need the touch of your Spirit. We need your presence, God. We need the anointing today. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, the victory of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lean on you right now. We trust you right now, Father. Our confidence is in you, Lord. Our faith and our trust is in you. Let your grace come down on us, God, and pick us up out of the ashes. If there's someone in the ashes of their mind tonight, pick them up, God, and help them to see there's a blue sky up above and there's a hope and a future. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. Praise God.